So just want to go back to the last portion of the first half of Hebrews chapter 6. And I had shared some on Hebrews 6 last Sunday and also on Thursday night. And now today. And we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. So, if you care to remain seated, I'll read those to you. Hebrews 6, 9, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. Amen. And things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. God, we thank you for these words, and let them work their work in our souls today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, last Sunday, I shared some things about the first couple of verses here. Just to keep us all on the same page and to let you know where I was at with a few things. Then on Thursday, we spoke about the middle portion of this first half of the section, where it's like a warning, and we spoke about the need for warning and circumspectness and staying out of the gray and some of the issues of the possibility of falling away. So then, in verse 9, the writer of this epistle begins to affirm his audience. He says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. And it's important to note, despite the risk of going along with modern thought and philosophy, that we do need to be affirmed. I know that's like kind of the world has taken that, like everything's affirmed and nobody's a loser kind of a thing these days. But we do need to be affirmed. Amen. We need to be told when we're doing things right.
Yes, we do.
We need to be told when we're doing things wrong. But we also need to be told when we're doing things right.
Good.
When we're pressing and trusting to do God's will and to know, keep going. You're on the right track. We need that. Many times in the epistles, the writers affirm their audience. The Philippians were affirmed in their great care for Paul and their giving and various aspects of their lives. And the issue of group affirmation is an interesting one because you're dealing with a mixed audience. Any kind of public address brings up interesting issues because you're always dealing with a mixed audience. When he said, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, does that mean to say that he believed that every single person bar none in his audience was exactly where they needed to be doing everything that they needed to do? When there's correction in the epistles and churches or groups have to be corrected or pulled up for something that's out of order, does that mean to say that every single person in that group is out of order or every single person needs to change? There could have been ones right there in Corinth that were equally as grieved over some of the things that were going on and fasting and praying and calling upon God. In fact, when Paul writes to I think maybe in Philippians it says, there's those of Chloe's household who told me that this is going on. In other words, they're sharing the burden. They want, do you see what I'm saying? So there's this always this issue in any kind of group address. And the bottom line is this, that we have in the church the blessing of the Holy Spirit. That he can take a message and he can apply it 50 times over in the exact volume and the exact way. And you've even had experiences when the Holy Spirit dealt with you about something that the preacher wasn't even preaching on. I can remember an experience like that in my life, a key experience. And it's amazing how he does that.
Right.
Bless God for it. So therefore, we have to be reminded that whether there's affirmation or correction, Esther said this, if the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't, throw it out the window.
Yeah.
If there's correction and the Holy Spirit says, you're clear, just thank God that by God's grace, you're clear, and pray for anyone who perhaps isn't. If there's affirmation, it's not a license.
No.
You know what I mean? That we're all 100%, nobody has to change in any way. You just take the Holy Spirit, just take what's for you and say, thank you, Jesus. And you see, all of it is tempered by the application of the Holy Spirit to our hearts individually. See what I'm saying? So, but here, there is certainly affirmation. And we ourselves could be affirmed and thank God for what he's helped us and how he's helped us and how there's been love in this place, how there's been an acceptance of ones maybe that have come in or needy ones and love and how there's been forbearance and long-suffering with one another. I've felt it towards myself, forbearance and long-suffering. And there's been giving, you know, there's been giving and there's been the receiving of different ministers, you know, it's Brother Helm, Pastor Schultze, and the messages that they've brought. There's been prayer, you know, there's been so many of these wonderful, wonderful things that are normal. And we don't want to compare ourselves to other people or be puffed up, but we just want to thank God for what we're doing right and that we need to keep doing. Bless God. And he said, I am persuaded. And when somebody persuades you, they present and they give reasons. But this apostle, the writer of this epistle was persuaded. He saw fruit. And he was convinced that of the people that he wrote to. And we thank God for visible fruit here too. And we're persuaded better things of you than this cursing, the cursing of fruitlessness that was just mentioned prior to verse 9. And better things of you and the things that go along with salvation, though we thus speak, though it's necessary to warn, praise God for what you're doing, what we're doing right, what we're walking in, and we thank Jesus for it. It says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown towards his name, and that ye have ministered and do minister to the, and do minister. There's a lot in that. There's a lot in every single clause in that sentence. To forget what others have done for you, to forget what God's done for you, to forget what you've been given, it says here, is unrighteous. That's not right living. To be forgetful about what others have done, what others have done for you, what others have done for us, is not right living. That's not what God's like.
Right.
To remember some things, some negative things, some things that have been asked for forgiveness of, some things that need to be covered and overlooked, is not. We've got to remember what God remembers and forget what God forgets.
Right.
To be living right. He's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. It's interesting. Work, it almost seems like two synonymous terms there, but the term work is just acts, is the things that is the physical acts and things that you have done. The word labor is toil. It's more associated with the cost and the pain that has come with some of the things that you have done for others. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of agape. Yes, agape will cause us to do things. It will cause us to act. And it will even cause us to do things that cost us. And when you have served others or served us here or helped others, many times it has cost you time. You spent hours behind a wheel. You've driven. You've given. That's a toil. That's a labor. That's a pain. And God is not unrighteous to forget it. It says, which you have shown towards his name in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. We need to be full on for the upreach. That's the first priority right there, isn't it? I mean, we're ministering to God. Everything you do is to God. When you minister to the... That's why we can't get... If we're getting het up about not getting thank you cards, maybe we're too orientated towards we're wanting to minister to a person. But and if what we do to every other person, every act of service and sacrifice is primarily to God, thank you card or no thank you card, it doesn't matter. Because you blessed God of the universe,
right.
You know? And that's where we get a little bit off, when we get a little bit too man-orientated. But we need to be all in on the upreach, the inreach, and the outreach. We got to have all three of those things right there. This sentence is more towards the upreach and the inreach, but when you are ministering to God, by necessity, you must be serving the body of Christ present and the body of Christ to be, right? Because we're searching for the elect. We're searching for the called ones and the chosen ones who hasn't yet been manifested for who they truly are yet. He is not unrighteous to forget your work and the price you've paid, which you have shown basically towards his name, and that you have ministered. That word ministered is the same word as deacon. It's basically you've been an errand runner. You've been a waiter at a table. You have served in practical, down-to-earth ways. God has not forgotten this thing. So we're on the subject of here of affirmation and exhortation, right?
Yes.
He's affirming here. The Holy Spirit is affirming. And as we progress through 11 and 12, we're going to see some exhortation too. God's not unrighteous to forget these things. He knows exactly what it is. Do you know that God can remember ways that you have served and loved others, shaken hands, got on your arms around people, given something that you can't even remember right now? Do you? Like, that's the fact. That's exciting. I mean, when you get to heaven,
wow,
you're going to be like, I think it's going to could be a very humbling moment.
Yeah.
But also, there's going to be like things that you've forgotten that you have done for other people that you can't remember it because it just seems to amount to nothing. It was just a passing stranger, somebody that came and stayed with you for a few days, somebody that was in your life for a week at one point over the last 40 years, and you endeavored to love them in the name of Jesus Christ, and you've never thought about it since. But one day you're going to find out. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, and that you have ministered, served, errand ran, waited upon to the saints and do minister. You know, there's never kind of like a past tense with the work of God in our lives that we're doing for others. If there is, oh, I used to do this, then no, it's what we did and it's what we do. Minister to the saints and do minister. Okay, so there's the affirmation. Here's the exhortation. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Paul and his companions were unified in this desire. The Holy Spirit, the author of this, is unified in this desire. Here, and this is picking up on what I said at the start about whenever a group is addressed, right? Because here it is right here. that every one of you do show the same diligence. And the desire of the Holy Spirit is a unity of intensity in the body of Christ. I've mentioned that phrase before. We always think about unity of doctrine. But there's also a unity of intensity that the Holy Spirit wants to bring the body of Christ to, whereby you could take a random sample of anyone, whether it be in this part of the body of Christ or elsewhere, and there would be the same zeal, the same passion, the same intensity, the same dedication to the work of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God and the church. Now, it may be expressed in different ways. You know, it doesn't mean you need to look the same, but on the inside, in the heart, the driving force is the same. The passion is the same. The cost that we have counted together of what it is worth, we are agreed upon. Agreed upon not only in thought, but in the action, that we agree that this deal is worth it. The church is worth it. The lost is worth it. The kingdom of God is worth it. And it's a unity of intensity reflected in our lifestyle and the choices that we make. That is the desire of the Holy Spirit. That it wouldn't be like on the soundboard here, you've got the graphics equalizer and a slider, and one's here and one's down here and one's... No, all of them would be up here together. And it goes on to specify this, that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. And there's a contrast in verse 12, that you be not slothful. Those two things are opposites. The word diligence means eagerness. The word slothful means sluggish. That's two contrasts, isn't it? In terms of responsiveness. Whether there's a need among us, you know. Somebody's in the hospital. Somebody's had a bereavement. Somebody's suffering through some challenges and trust in God. Somebody needs this over here. Somebody needs... I mean, is there the same eagerness? Is there an eagerness? Is there a responsiveness to meet the needs, to help where possible? You know, we've all got different... on any given day, we've got different time constraints, different things, different assignments. They're in order of God, which may prevent us from doing other things. But I think if you put the whole picture together, God's always got someone that he has called and assigned, or some people, to meet that need or to respond, whether it's a need within us or whether it's a need in somebody else that we're ministering to. That need's always going to take care of. If that need's not taken care of, then someone somewhere was doing something other than the will of God, right? Because everything's taken care of in the economy of God.
Amen.
The contrast there between eagerness, responsiveness, desire to respond, to do, to be available, and a slothfulness, which is a kind of sluggishness, which is something that's holding back, which is like, I guess, or maybe, but it's kind of like an inconvenience kind of a thing. We're just trusting Jesus. All of us are just trusting Jesus to guard our hearts, aren't we?
Right.
We're all human beings. There was a slothfulness in me this morning, when the van was already halfway at the driveway, in the middle of the street, and somebody away from me was needing some help with a seatbelt. And I had to put it in park in the middle of the road, get out the van, get back in the back door, climb over chairs, and help. And I had to confess to my wife, I just didn't want to do that right then. You know? And that's where some stuff was coming up that shouldn't have been coming up. But I confessed it and I repented, so that's cool. We just go on and we trust in Jesus always to grow into the people we want to be. But yeah, there can be in our humanity, there can be a slothfulness. There can be a lack of responsiveness. We're just talking about the Christian meeting. There can be a lack of responsiveness when it's like, okay, who's going to pray for this person? Now, at the same time, we want to give the slower ones a chance to respond too, right? Or there can be a lack of responsiveness when it's time to praise God, when it's time to pray, when it's time to whatever, give, serve, go. We're trusting Jesus.
Amen.
He says, we desire that every one of you do show the same eagerness, the same unity of intensity to serve and to minister to the saints that are or the saints that be. And it says, to the full assurance of hope unto the end. What does that mean? God has given us assurance. We have the witness of the Spirit. We know our sins have been forgiven.
Yes.
We know that we're right with God, by God, by a work of the grace of God in our lives. But that assurance and that confidence that we have, that peace with God, that affirmation that we have in our heart, is also related to what we do every day. It's related to diligence. Diligence is just doing the things that you know you ought to do no matter how you feel. Didn't matter how we feel. There's just stuff that we know we just, in the realms of general wisdom, I just got to do this. And I got to do it right now, regardless of how I feel. And as God helps us in the Holy Spirit to walk in diligence, it builds us up. Because we have this assurance grows. Our confidence grows. We know we're walking in the things that we need to be walking in for God's kingdom to come and for us to be everything that God wants us to be. There's a confirming verse in this if you want to check it out. It's a verse that's always interested me. 1 Timothy 3:13, just talking about how just as you're doing all the things that God wants you to do, it affirms you. It affirms you. It assures you. It gives you confidence. It gives you boldness. It's 1 Timothy 3:13 in the context of this is elders and deacons in the church. It says, "For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." The Amplified Bible says, "For those who perform well as deacons acquire a good standing for themselves and also gain much confidence and freedom and boldness in the faith, which is founded on and centers in Christ Jesus." In other words, as we serve, as we do the things we're called to do, as we're diligent, God blesses us with an expanded boldness. But the other thing that this means here too, he says, "We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." Part of our hope, okay, we have a hope. Each and every one of us has a hope. Hope is the expectation of future improvement. We have the hope in and of ourselves that just concerning our own lives, God is at work, God has conformed us to his image, God has a better future for us because every day he's changing us more into his likeness and the fulfillment of the purposes that he has in his life. That's our individual hope. That's only part of the hope that we hold together, okay? Part of the hope that we hold together is not just founded on our own walk and and the hope that he's given us as individuals, but it's what we hold together as a group. We hope that we together, the church, will be everything that God's called it to be. We hope that what was seen once in the book of Acts will be present and active in our lives. We hope for future improvement together, as a group together. Part of our hope in life is the body of Christ being what the body of Christ is to be. That's part of the crisis going on in our hearts. Is that if this book prescribes it, if this book says it, if this book exemplifies it, and we don't see it, it produces a tension in us. It should. It produces a crisis in us. It produces a scratching of our head. It produces a praying. It produces an acting. It produces a waiting and a looking. And that's part of the hope that we're called to together. That we together would be everything that God called us to be, that we would see the fulfillment of everything that God's called us to. And that's why it says here, "We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence, the same eagerness to the full assurance of hope unto the end." So that the fullness of the hope that what you've been called to would be realized because you're all doing it together. And there's an expectation together. Okay, folks, we're on the right track. We're on the right track together. We're all on the right track. We're all united in what this deal is worth. That you be not slothful, that you be not unresponsive or sluggish, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Which promises? Righteousness, peace, and joy have been promised us. I mentioned already the things in the epistles, how we see the vibrant churches, the things in the book of Acts have been promised to us. And it's been promised to us that the days of our mourning shall be ended.
Amen.
So that's what we have here in these few verses, that there's just this great affirmation, which we need, but there's also exhortation, which we need, just to be challenged to be everything that God called us to be. So God, we give it to you. We thank you, God, for your word. Jesus, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for everything that you've done in us individually thus far and as a group thus far. And we look to you just to be everything you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.